A whole gang of media snoopers, including Jonathan Marks, scans from D.C. to daylight every Thursday here on Radio Netherlands. Their super-duper whopper-doppler-receiver gizmos pick out the essence of what's happening in the world of international broadcasting. Radio Netherlands, we have the technology.
Hello, this is Jonathan Marks for PCJ Online. Just about to push the button on another program from the media network Vintage Radio Archives.
Radio Netherlands, continental talk radio from the heart of Northwest Europe.
Media Network, a weekly survey of communication developments hosted by Jonathan Marks.
This offer void or prohibited. Your mileage may vary, only for use by unauthorized receivers. Local laws may not apply. Consult your manual for times and frequencies. Not responsible for solar conditions. Information programmed on Media Network is from sources we believe to be accurate. Mistakes and drivel may be included, usually unintentionally.
Right, that's the disclaimers out of the way. Hello! So much has happened in the world of broadcasting in the last 7 days, you'll have to hang on to your headphones as we give you the free world tour. New stations first. Tetsuya Kondo and Shigenori Aoki in Tokyo have been monitoring the rapid expansion of a Japanese religious group called Aum Shinrikyo. In April, they started with 2 hours of Japanese programs, airing 1 hour on shortwave and 1 hour on medium wave over Radio Moscow facilities. On June 15th, 2 half-hour English language programs started, one at 04:30, the other at 20:30 UTC. The founder of this religious order is Shoko Asahara, and the general offices turn out to be in Fujinomiya City, central Japan. The broadcast ends with a commercial.
The Teachings of the Truth. English translated lectures by Master Shoko Asahara. The teaching Master Asahara expounds is the same teaching Buddha Shakyamuni gave 2,500 years ago. The Teachings of the Truth, now on sale.
For that hour a day, the religious group seems to have taken over a large part of Radio Moscow World Service. At 20:30 UTC, our Japanese monitors found no less than 42 frequencies carrying this program, which has quite a unique style, to say the least. The programme carries the English title, The Gospel of the Holy Heaven. Mr. Asahara presents the programmes himself and signs off like this.
All of you will remember to practice the teaching of truth and to make the best use of this programme to attain the Holy Heaven. This has been Radio Aum Shinrikyo. See you tomorrow.
This is Radio Moscow World Service.
And the changeover is sudden and complete. I made that recording in Hilversum last night at 20:56 UTC on 9640 kHz, although 17695 and 10344 kHz upper sideband also provided good signals in this part of the world. Frankly, if you check any shortwave band from 17 MHz down to 7, you should hit at least one of the Radio Moscow channels carrying this new programme. The times again, 04:30 and 20:30 UTC. The organisation says a 50-minute daily Russian programme will begin in September, as well as a bit of television.
Media Network's News Desk.
In other relay news, last week Gabon and Côte d'Ivoire signed a protocol which will allow the successful shortwave station Africa No. 1 to hire time on the 500 kilowatt shortwave transmitter owned by the National Radio and Television Station in what we used to call Ivory Coast. The transmitter, located 15 kilometres east of Abidjan, was built in 1986, but has only been used for part of the day on 6015 or 11920 kilohertz. Africa No. 1 wants the airtime to increase its presence in West Africa. However, Eric Lane, a technical director for Africa No. 1 in Gabon, told us that the transmitter is in such a state of disrepair, it'll take between 3 and 6 months before it's working again. Elsewhere in Africa, the German external service Deutsche Welle is modernising its relay station in Rwanda. For the last 30 years, two transmitters have been operating at Kigali. The old senders have now been taken out of service and replaced by two new ones. Engineers are currently dismantling the old transmitters, as well as modifying and extending the antenna arrays. Two further 250-kilowatt transmitters will shortly be installed, so that by the start of next year, Deutsche Welle Kigali will have doubled its broadcasting capacity and will start relaying two programmes simultaneously, both fed by satellite from the studios in Cologne. We're off to Costa Rica now, and several letters from Indian listeners reminding us that Spanish Foreign Radio was constructing a shortwave relay station there to improve its service to the Americas. How about an update, writes Rajiv Guha from Bombay.
Radio Exterior de España. Servicio Mundial.
Jaime Bajina of our sister programme Radio Enlace rang José Martínez Nicolás of Spanish Foreign Radio's Technical Division in Madrid and got this update.
Está terminándose. En este momento ya se han hecho pruebas de emisión, solo con portadoras, sin programas.
We've done some test transmissions, but without any modulation on the transmitters. We've built three 100-kilowatt transmitters in Costa Rica, but we've experienced some delay in getting these American-made transmitters operational. At the start of June, there were problems with the synthesizers used to generate the stable carrier wave. However, in a few days' time, tone tests from Costa Rica should start, and during July, test programming from the Spanish World Service will be broadcast at regular intervals between 22 and 05 hours UTC. During the test phase, the transmissions will be quite short, probably no more than 15 minutes. By the middle of August, we should be ready to commence regular broadcasts for 6 or 7 hours a day. We only plan to broadcast Spanish language programmes from Costa Rica. The rest of the airtime is being given to the Costa Rican authorities for their own use.
No exact test frequencies have been announced yet. They hope to get an allocation in the 60-metre tropical band, and they plan to use frequencies in the 6, 9 and 11 megahertz broadcast bands. So watch those bands for the test transmissions over the next few days. The times again are 22 to 05 hours UTC. Programmes are fed by satellite from Madrid to Costa Rica. There are three antenna groups, one for Central America, one beamed to the southeastern part of the United States, and one for Colombia and Venezuela. But what about Spanish Foreign Radio's other relay station plans?
The old relay station on the Canary Islands is no longer used because the equipment's obsolete. However, we may totally rebuild it to reach South America. However, you mustn't forget that both Spanish Foreign Radio and the National Radio 1 radio service is available as a subcarrier on the Intelsat 6 satellite. This is in addition to the TVE, International Spanish TV channel. The satellite has wide coverage all over the Americas. If the Canary Islands is too expensive, we may hire shortwave airtime from countries in South America, but no decisions have been taken yet. The project to use relay transmitters in Romania is progressing, but it'll be some time before that takes effect. The cooperation with Bucharest is going well, but there's a lot of work to be done.
José Martínez Nicolás of Spanish Foreign Radio. We stay in the same region. Marcel Rommets in Arnhem, in the east of Holland, has been in touch with the owner of Radio Miami International, Jeff White. He's now touring South America. Marcel tells me that some testing's been going on.
Radio Miami International has founded a joint venture with a radio station in Tegucigalpa in Honduras, and the name of that radio station is Radio Estereo Amistad. They want to put on the air a 1 kilowatt shortwave station. Jeff told me that the license for the station was already given by the Honduras Telecommunications Administration in April 1991. Last year, in September and October, they shipped a 1 kilowatt transmitter from the U.S. to Honduras. 2 weeks ago, they've completed the installation work.
And what about testing it, then?
Yeah, the call letters of that new station are HRJA, and the tentative name is Radio Copan International. On Sunday, the 14th of June, Radio Copan did some tests on the frequency of 15,675 kilohertz. And that was approximately between 1800 and 2200 UTC.
Although the broadcast was heard in the southern part of the US, there were mixing problems at the transmitter site between the shortwave transmitter and a nearby FM sender. It'll take a few weeks to solve, after which more tests are expected on 15675 or alternatively 9950 kHz.
So how high is your threshold for warped government propaganda?
The Megaphone Newsreel marches around the continent, across the seven seas, and right into your face.
If you question other stations' motives, switch to Radio Netherlands. The answer is in the balance.
We take you now to Eastern Europe. Radio Vilnia says it's worried about its relay on 15485 kHz at 23 hours UTC. The transmitter site isn't in Lithuania. In fact, it's in Moldova, but it's been seized by separatists and is no longer under the control of the Moldovan authorities. As a result, that transmitter, which is widely received in North America, may cease broadcasting at any time. On the same subject, though, Tony Legendre, who lives in France, sent a fascinating article he clipped from the April 17th issue of Lithuania Weekly. It announces that the British company, Ikoni Radio Limited, have presented the Lithuanian Ministry of Communications with a plan to build a 24-hour English-language commercial radio station serving the Baltic states and Scandinavia. The article quotes a transmitter power of just 50 kilowatts. We did a search in London at Companies House to discover Ikoni Radio Limited was registered in Humberside. It's since changed into Baltic Radio Limited and appears to be serious about its joint venture with the Lithuanian Ministry of Communications. One of the directors is Paul Rusling. Paul, you may remember, was involved with the Laser 558 offshore station in its early days. Now he's in Lithuania, putting up a 200-kilowatt medium-wave transmitter and claiming Baltic Radio Limited has investments in Lithuania alone of some $4.5 million. So, how will this venture make money?
Advertising.
Is there a big market for that in that part of the world?
Absolutely. The station will not be aiming at the Baltic states, it will be aiming at Scandinavia. As you know, Sweden has a population of 8.5 million people. It's one of the few countries in the Western world that doesn't have commercial radio. Advertisers, or the multinationals we've talked to, perceive them as being a very desirable audience for their products.
In English?
In English, yeah. 96% of the Swedish population understand English anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But they are only a small part of the market. I mean, if we were just broadcasting to Sweden, the station would be viable in its own right. But in fact, we're aiming at a wider audience around the shores of the Baltic, thus the name Baltic Radio International, not necessarily an on-air ID, but certainly a working title for the project.
So you found people to lend you all this money? Because, I mean, it's a huge investment you're talking about.
There are very few people who have loaned money to the project. Most of them are have invested it as equity.
The station should broadcast 24 hours a day on a frequency in the lower part of the medium wave band. But surely the transmitter site will have to perform better than Lithuania's current transmitter site, just north of Vilnius.
Oh, yes, absolutely. The 500 kilowatts they have on 666 kilohertz has a horribly inefficient antenna system. This is going to be located between Klaipeda and Palanga on the Lithuanian coast and aimed directly up the Baltic at Denmark and Sweden.
And you say it's going to start, beginning of next year?
Beginning of next year is the earliest you're going to hear anything, I would imagine. We're also providing some other facilities. We're providing them with an emergency broadcast station on the same site with a directional antenna which will beam into Lithuania. I don't know how they're going to run it and on what frequencies, but we're providing that as a gift. That's not particularly high-powered, but they feel it would be the last to go if the state systems were taken over again.
I'm with you.
I should add that we have the full support of the entire Lithuanian government on this. The Minister of Defence, the Minister of Communications and the Minister of Foreign Investment, they actually have one of those, were 100% behind the station because they see it as a very important strategic link that should anything untoward happen and they lose control of their own broadcast services. They do have one last way of broadcasting to the West, and they don't think that that one would be seized by any aggressive power.
I was talking to Paul Rusling. I remember remember one of the first media programs I tuned into in the 70s was from a religious station. Adventist World Radio had hired airtime from Radio Trans Europe facilities in Sines, Portugal. On Sunday mornings, they put out a bulletin of DX news and features, first by the World DX Club of England, then from the Danish Shortwave Clubs International, based in Denmark. World DX News has always been a good source of regional listening tips for listeners in Europe, but sadly the costs of hiring the Sines shortwave transmitter have become too much. This Sunday will be the last broadcast from Sines and also the last DX programme. AWR Europe tell us in a fax they want to explore new projects via transmitters in Russia. Finn Kroner has provided the DX tips for many an edition of World DX News. After a successful annual general meeting of the Danish Shortwave Clubs International in Copenhagen this past weekend, I asked him how he got involved.
I've been doing this for about 12 years. I received a letter from AWR asking whether the Danish Shortwave Clubs, as a very active club, would like to do the program. And Anke Petersen said, well, you better do it, Finn.
That's quite a commitment. I mean, putting together a news column every week.
Yeah, and it has been difficult, but, you know, I have so many DX friends that have been calling me with DX tips, and it seems as if it has been quite a popular program.
You've also had help from people in the UK.
Yes, I had one very well-known medium-wave DXer in the UK called Barry Davis doing the program once a month some years back. And when he stopped DXing, Gordon Bennett took over from England, and that has been very successful as well.
So if people want to hear the final programme via Sines this coming weekend, what's the time and frequency?
Yeah, then you should tune in on 9670 kHz at 0815 when you have Gordon Bennett on with the medium-wave news for the very last time on AWR Sines.
And what about the meeting you had this past weekend? Did you manage to hear anything interesting, or were conditions poor?
Well, for us, the stations were very poor because we were trying to listen to the tropical bands, and there was nothing spectacular on the tropical bands. But we did listen to one station that has not been heard here for a long time, and that was Radio Oriental in Montevideo in Uruguay, 9595 kilohertz. This one was heard around 0330 with quite a good strength, and we heard it, by the way, in parallel with 930 kilohertz medium wave, although that signal was quite weak.
I can imagine. Well, thank you for that tip. And also, I think, on behalf of everybody in the DXing business, thanks for your perseverance over the last 12 years. It's been a very interesting program to follow, and I'm sorry it's stopping.
And I thank you for calling me and saying farewell this way, Jonathan.
Well, maybe you can help us out here on Media Network.
If you would like that, I wouldn't mind at all having a look at it, because I think it would be a pity to have the DX program go away anyway, yeah?
Media Network, putting the bang into World Bang Radio.
At least that's what it sounds like in SSB.
Back to Holland, and Radio Netherlands has started a domestic radio and television publicity campaign to promote listening to the Dutch language European program. Audience research shows that the listenership to this service continues to grow. A television commercial will air around 50 times this summer, the next airing being Friday, June the 26th, at 21:25 UTC. I was rather surprised to get a folder in the post on Saturday from Tandy Radio Shack announcing a closing down sale at all of Holland's 45 shops. Another 115 shops elsewhere in Europe, 20 shops in Canada, and 20 in Australia are closing down too. This electronics chain is well known to enthusiasts as a source of components. And especially in North America, Tandy's been responsible for pushing shortwave radios manufactured for them by Sanjian of Taiwan. Shops in the United States, we're told, appear to be unaffected. In fact, Tandy shops outside the US are owned by Intertan of Canada. In Europe, Tandy's only made a profit through its British outlets. In the last financial year, Tandy in Holland lost $500,000, and during its 20 years in this country, never ran at a profit. Keith Vetlaufer is Senior Vice President for Finance and Administration at Intertan Incorporated in Ontario, Canada. He says 1,531 company-owned stores will still remain.
The market is such that you have to be in a higher traffic areas, and these stores that have been opened up over the past 10 years, in many cases, haven't been located in the right spot. So it makes it hard for us to compete if we're not in the right locations, which means we had to eliminate all the stores that we felt were not contributing to the overall performance of the company.
This weekend, I shall be attending the large ham radio meeting in Friedrichshafen in southern Germany, where some 15,000 radio people are expected. New equipment is also being premiered at this largest amateur radio gathering in Europe. Wolf Harrant of Radio Austria International tells me there'll be a shortwave listeners meeting in Hall 2, Room B, at 11 a.m. local time on Saturday morning. So if you're in the area, do come along. Radio Austria International will also be displaying its large QSL collection in Hall 2, Stand 205. And we expect German shortwave clubs to have stands as well.
Hello! I have a QSL card stuck in box 222. It's really crowded in here. Please let me out! Please!
Well, you can let them out with a correct reception report on any Radio Netherlands broadcast, as from next week we'll be changing our QSL lineup to four cards with a floral motif. Several calls to the answer line from people who monitored Radio Norway International in English last Saturday when the station announced that starting sometime this summer, shortwave airtime will be given to the Burmese government in exile. Sein Win, Prime Minister of the exiled Burmese government, was quoted as saying the Norwegian Ministry of Foreign Affairs has agreed to issue a licence. Let's bring up the line to Victor Gunatilika in Colombo, Sri Lanka now to find out how signals from Norway are heard in that part of South Asia. Victor.
Well, Jonathan, looking at the schedule of Radio Norway with those 500 kilowatt transmitters, they should provide a good signal.
Meanwhile, Transworld Radio has announced some expansion plans too. What's happening there?
Transworld Radio Sri Lanka for some time has been trying to get an agreement with the Sri Lankan government for shortwave broadcasts out of Putlam, which is their medium wave broadcasting base, where they have a 400 kilowatt medium wave transmitter on 882. Well, finally, the Sri Lankan government gave them an agreement, and Transworld Radio Sri Lanka will go on shortwave, hopefully by September this year, with a 12.5 kilowatt shortwave transmitter, which has been leased from the SLBC.
There's some history to that transmitter, though. I mean, 12.5 isn't all that much, is it?
Although it's 12.5, it's a fairly modern transmitter, which was brought into Sri Lanka in 1982 for the purpose of jamming the Tamil clandestine broadcast. Well, after using it for jamming, I understand there was quite a bit of damage to it, blown tubes and all that. So Transworld Radio is going to refurbish this transmitter, and they hope to be on the air by September.
I also saw some reports that they were planning to put a 100 kilowatt transmitter into Putlam too.
Well, yes, they hope to have their own 100 kilowatt transmitter at Putlam. And this transmitter, the 100 kilowatt, is hopefully going to be shipped somewhere later next month from the USA.
Okay. Now, what else is new?
Radio Iraq International has finally come through with a good signal on 15240 kilohertz, and we hear it 1430 to 1530 UTC in English. Reception is quite good, with some occasional interference from the BBC to India on 15245 kilohertz. Baghdad is also heard 01 hours to 03 hours on 15340 kilohertz. That's 15340 kilohertz, with an occasional English news bulletin and bested around 0 to 30 UTC. The frequency once again, 15.340/01-03 hours, and of course English to South Asia, 14.30 to 15.30, 15.240.
So that broadcast to South Asia is in fact quite new.
Oh yes, in fact, it's just 3 days ago that we picked it up.
Radio Netherlands in magnificent monophonic.
Maybe you recall the brief tests on shortwave by Radio St Helena back in 1990. It seems the station may return to 11.092 kHz in the autumn. Tony Leo, station manager, told two visiting Swedish DXs, John Ekwall and Jan Tanier, that the governor of the island has given permission to reactivate the shortwave transmitter. Meanwhile, BBC Monitoring have spotted a new channel for Radio Botswana, namely 9600 kHz, which is being used during daylight hours. And talking of daylight, I note that conditions haven't been too bad over the last couple of days. The 10 kilowatt transmitter of Ecos del Torbes in Venezuela was putting in a good signal as late as 09 hours UTC yesterday morning on 9640 kHz. Marcel Rommertz in Arnhem reports that the German language division of Trans World Radio will start broadcasts via Astra as of July the 5th. They'll put out a 30-minute evangelical programme at 04.30 and 16.30 UTC daily via Quality Europe FM's subcarrier. That's on transponder 16 under Sky Movies. The audio frequencies are 7.38 and 7.56 megahertz. Now to the answer line for some local topical news.
Hi, this is Paul Balster of Wembley, England. Anybody planning to visit the Wimbledon Lawn Tennis Championships this year will have a radio station to listen to whilst they're in the Wimbledon area. BBC Radio Wimbledon is broadcasting during the Wimbledon Championships on 101.6 MHz FM, locally between 0700 and 2100 UTC on every day of the championships. At other times, the station is relaying BBC Radio 5 programming, except between 23.15 and 0500, when Radio 5 is off the air.
Thank you, Paul. Now to shortwave again, and BRTN Teletex monitored a new schedule for Radio Yugoslavia, which includes English at 19.30 to 20 hours, and again 21 to 21.30 UTC. The only frequency they're using now is 7200 kHz. Radio Yugoslavia's new shortwave transmitter site is apparently off the air. 7200 is clearly a channel to watch, because last night at 17.57 UTC, Andy Sennett was listening to that channel and heard a new test transmission from Sudan. They were asking for reports on a new 100 kilowatt transmitter.
Please send us your report to the audibility and the frequency range. We are on our test transmission as from 5 a.m. to 12 midnight to the local time. Our address is Radio Onderman, P.O. Box 572, Onderman, Sudan.
That's the interval signal to look for. The address, Radio Omdurman, P.O. Box 572, Omdurman in Sudan. And the frequency again, 7200, the time 17.57 of that recording. And reception is possible in Europe until around 18.30, when Radio Yugoslavia signs on in German. An official US commission studying the possibility of setting up a Radio Free Asia, along the same lines as Radio Free Europe, has cancelled plans to visit Beijing. John Hughes, a former director of the VOA and chairman of the commission, says the Chinese authorities refused to grant a visa for one member of the delegation and set unacceptable terms for the visit. The 11-man commission was due to travel to Beijing to discuss the implications the new service might have on US-Chinese relations. Meanwhile, in Budapest this past Monday, Shen Tong, one of the leading student activists during the Tiananmen Square protest and president of the Democracy for China Fund, met Hungarian officials. Amongst the items on the agenda was the possibility that Hungary might broadcast pro-democracy programmes towards China under the name Radio Free China. Well, back to Victor, because this time last month we mentioned that Radio Thailand was being blocked by Radio Australia. Victor, has that changed?
Well, yes. On the 17th of this month, Radio Australia made some changes, and we were happy to note that they left 9655, which is Radio Thailand's external service frequency. So Bangkok comes through quite clearly now, especially with their English broadcast.
And English from Bangkok, 11:30 to 12 hours UTC on 9655 kilohertz. Thanks, Victor. Lou Josephs in Boston was checking the wireless dial at midnight 27 UTC early on Thursday morning, and 13660 kilohertz was carrying this. That's the sound of Radio Havana, Cuba, testing in single sideband. That's it for now. Join us in 7 days.
I've been doing some listening between 3 and 30 megawatts. Some people get static. Some people get far-off countries. I just get a headache.
Serving the universe from Flevo, Radio Netherlands, with relays in Russia, Bonaire, and Madagascar. Any questions?
And that's where we end this nostalgic trip back into the Media Network audio archives from 1981 to October 2000. If you find all this stuff interesting, you might want to explore the Critical Distance website, where you can find more vintage audio shows, but also peruse recent video interviews I've made in the course of my travels around the world. Some of the videos actually follow up on points raised in the Media Network programme. So zip over to www.jonathanmarks.com for more details. In the meantime, this is Jonathan Marks saying back soon. Bye for now.